we have Brother Newton to bring us the Lord's Word this morning.
Yeah, we have finished a month-long celebration. And as we move on, it's good to listen to what God's Word has to tell us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, we can say at the end of the celebrations, what does the Lord want you and me to be, brothers and sisters? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I like to take that word for myself, and I'd like to leave that word for all of you this morning. As we enter another year, the Lord's desire for all of us, or we can say that's the burden of Apostle Paul. Finally, be strong. God's will for each one of us is that we be strong in Him and in the power of His might. And not only that, it says here, put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And for the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. There's something I noticed this morning, newly, before I come to that. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have heard this for many years, that God has blessed us in heavenly places. Praise the Lord for that. Then Ephesians 2, we read how we were dead in sins, and verse 5, even when we are dead in transgression, made us alive together with Christ. Verse 6, it says, and raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And here we read in chapter 6, after we've been blessed with all the blessings in heavenly places, and after we've been raised and seated up in the heavenly places, here it says here, now put on the whole armor of God, and we have a spiritual warfare in the heavenly places. And I think that not many are aware. They're excited to know, yeah, God's blessed us in the heavenly places, brother, praise the Lord. Good. And if you come to a place where you're seated in the heavenly places, that's wonderful. I believe God's looking for a heavenly-minded church. Brothers and sisters, not earthly-minded now. God's done a work in them. They're pressing on. It's very difficult to find a church that's heavenly-minded, and we want to press on. And that's the challenge we have, brothers and sisters, that all of us are heavenly-minded, that you remain in the heavenly places, seated, and then... and then wage a warfare. Because the Bible says here, our struggle, verse chapter 6, verse 12, is not against flesh and blood. No, this is God's plan for all of us as a church. He has blessed us, led us, guided us, encouraged us, but finally to bring us to a place where we know how to wage a warfare against, it says here, rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Not many in the church learn to realize their responsibility. You know, when it comes to ministry, we can say it's a question of a gift. Some people have the gift to preach or teach or lead and do many things. But when it comes to spiritual warfare, you know, you don't need a gift, brothers and sisters. It's got to do with your life. Can you say amen for that? All of us can be in spiritual warfare. All of us have an equal chance. That's really challenging my heart. It's got nothing to do with the gifts. But if you want to learn to, you know, we have also looked at in the past weeks how the church is a spiritual building. We have looked at church as the body of Christ. And here we can say the church is represented as a army of soldiers fighting against the devil. Oh, how wonderful, brothers and sisters, all of us can grow up to be a soldier for Jesus. Uncompromising, faithful soldier, fighting the spiritual warfare. And since if you want to fight spiritual warfare, don't fight the flesh and blood. And before I come to spiritual warfare, in this connection, I want to remind you of some five exhortations Apostle Paul gives before we come to battle the devil and his hosts. Number one, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, he says, don't be children. As we press on into another year, that's the exhortation I'd like to leave behind. That's the burden of Apostle Paul. Don't be children. Grow up to maturity. And it's good for all of us to have that, if I can say, slogan before us. Don't be children. Don't be a childish brother and sister. Grow up to maturity. And it says here, how you can grow up to maturity. Don't be tossed about by the waves. Children are like that. They're moody. You know? But Paul says, don't be like children. Oh, I wish that can be gripped. I wish we can be gripped by that. I don't want to be a child. I want to grow up to maturity. And it says to the maturity of Christ. And that's what we've been speaking all these years. Press on to perfection. And then number two, it says chapter 4 verse 17. Don't be like Gentiles. He says here, in the futility of the minds, being darkened in understanding, excluded from the life of God through ignorance, because of hardness of the heart, they have given themselves sensuality. In other words, after we are saved, and we are baptized, and come into the church, we should all be able to say, I am not a Gentile, I don't behave like a Gentile, I don't walk after the flesh, my life is completely different. I'm not only pressing on to maturity, I'm not a child, but I'm not like a Gentile. Oh, I wish all of us had that seriousness to demonstrate I don't want to conduct myself as a Gentile in any part of my life. I hope you'll take that seriously, brothers and sisters. And you know, the Lord wants the church to be so distinct from the Gentiles. What a challenge for all of us. And to such an extent, in chapter 5, verse 3, Apostle Paul says, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. For there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know certainly, that no immoral person or impure person or covetous person who is an idolater has inherited in the kingdom of God. So I'm coming to spiritual warfare, but much before that, the Lord wants us to live in such a way, there's a fundamental difference that all of us should be able to say, I'm completely freed from that way the Gentiles live. For example, all the young brothers should be, the Bible says, flee fornication. All the young brothers must be able to say, I have nothing to do with fornication. Then I can say you are a good brother in the church, that you are learning to be a soldier. And same way, all the married brothers and sisters, we should be able to say, I have nothing to do with adultery or immorality. Then you can say you are not a Gentile, that God is working in you, the kingdom of God has come in, because it says here, no immoral person, impure person, covetous person, or idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. To be so distinct, brothers and sisters, what a challenge. And then, one more exhortation before you learn to fight the spiritual warfare. Chapter 5, verse 15 and 17. Therefore be careful how we walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of it, and because there is evil. And do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You are not to be children, number one. Number two, no, you are not to be Gentiles. Number three, we are not to be foolish. Have you taken that exhortation seriously? We think, oh, what, it doesn't matter if I'm foolish. I'm just learning. No, the Bible says, don't be foolish. And not only that, you have to be wise. You have to understand the will of the Lord. And you say, brother, what is the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord is revealed in the Word of God. And in this connection, it says here, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, the honor of the Lord. What a wonderful brother and sister you are in the church. You can say, I'm not a child, I'm not a Gentile, I'm not a foolish brother or sister, but I understand the will of God, and I'm a Spirit-filled brother and sister in the church. Oh, I love to see a Spirit-filled church like that. Brothers and sisters who are serious-minded about following the Lord, yet very happy in the Lord, making melody in their hearts. Okay, the fourth exhortation, chapter 4, verse 27. Lovely exhortation. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Oh, I wish we can all take that to heart. You know how we give the devil an opportunity, brothers and sisters? Chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry. It says, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. When we give room for anger, we give room to the devil. And when we give room for lying, we give room for the devil. Verse 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak the truth, one of you, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I hope you have a zeal in your heart to say, I don't want to give the devil any place in my life. Then you are a wonderful brother and sister. Then the number fifth exhortation. Just down this chapter 4, verse 30. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Don't be childish. Don't be like a child. Don't be like a Gentile. Don't be foolish. Don't give the devil an opportunity. And then don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You may ask, brother, how do I grieve the Holy Spirit? You know, when you open your mouth and it says, speak unwholesome words that are not edifying, verse 29, you grieve the Holy Spirit. And verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. If you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, watch your mouth. And then watch your heart. Don't allow any bitterness to come into your heart. In fact, one should come into this life pretty quickly. Sometimes I feel grief whenever I hear brothers and sisters say, oh, I came to the meeting, I got convicted about my bitterness. You have to come to the meeting to get convicted about your bitterness. Oh, if you learn to honor the Holy Spirit, you will be careful with your tongue. In other words, you speak only gracious words that will bless and challenge and strengthen and edify. What a calling, brothers and sisters. Oh, may God open eyes to be gripped by that. Every brother, no bitterness, and sister, no bitterness. No unwholesome words, only blessed words. I hope you see the hope of your calling. What a fantastic possibility we all have. Okay. So when you do that, then you can say you are getting ready for spiritual warfare. And that's what Apostle Paul comes to in chapter 6. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, we can say the sixth exhortation is don't fight against flesh and blood. Don't fight with human beings. Don't fight with relatives or property or any other things like that. Learn to fight the devil. Learn to fight the evil spirits. And then Paul says, Apostle Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. This is for every brother and sister, not just for some leaders or people like that. Then he says, take up the full armor of God, verse 13, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. The Bible says we got an adversary. You know, the Lord loves us. The Lord's got wonderful plans and purposes for us. And He leads us and guides us and He builds us so that we can come to maturity. But we also have an adversary. You know that? It's good to know that. We have an adversary, an enemy. He hates us. And the Bible says, you know what we should do to the adversary? Resist him. I like that. You know that verse? In Peter and James, both of them say the same thing. James and Peter. Resistance and faith. So, he attacked God's people continuously. Yeah, chapter 4, verse 7, James 4, 7. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. When you walk in submission to God and to the authority God has placed over you, you can resist the devil. You don't need to be afraid. Like many of people are saying, brother, I don't know from which side the devil is going to attack me. You're not to be afraid of the devil. You submit to God, you resist him, and he will flee. Can you say that? The devil's got to flee from me. Are you scared to say that? Then, 1 Peter. That's your birthright, brothers and sisters. Chapter 5. It says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. That's the mark of a soldier. He's alert. He's watchful. He doesn't just sleep off. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same extent of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren in the world. Okay, we come back to Ephesians chapter 6. And you know, Apostle Paul speaks about various weapons. Verse 14. Stand firm, therefore. Good exhortation. Stand firm. How are you, brother? Now I'm just pulling on. I'm standing firm. I hope we'll have some new covenant testimonies like that. Your loins girded with truth. Like I believe in the olden days, the soldiers were wearing loose dress. So Paul says, loins will be girded up with truth. And then, just put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, our chest has to be protected. That's why we need the breastplate of righteousness. That is the righteousness of Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. You can't be protected against the attack of Satan by your own righteousness. We can be only protected by the righteousness of Christ. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, put on the breastplate of faith and love. You know, when you walk in love, the devil can't touch you, brothers and sisters. That's our armor. Put on the righteousness of Christ. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. And by the way, these few weapons, they are the defensive weapons. There are two kinds of weapons. One is defensive, one is offensive. So, the things we are considering here is all defensive. And having your feet, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I was reading the other day about soldiers. You know, many soldiers, when they go to sleep, especially in the war front, they don't remove the shoes, I believe. They sleep on with their boots. And what that means is you're alert for war. And I believe the mark of a good soldier is he's ready to share the gospel with anyone, anytime. You don't need a preparation. And that's how you're trained to be a soldier. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming works of the evil one. In other words, Satan is casting many flaming arrows. And, you know, with the shield of faith, you can extinguish. So the spirit of warfare is no joke. It's not fun. And then he says, take the helmet of salvation. You know, our head also needs to be protected. So God's given us the helmet of salvation, we can say. That speaks about our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, when you become a Christian, you have tremendous hope in Christ. And that's why God's given us the helmet of salvation. And I'll come to the sword of the Spirit. That's the only offensive weapon that's described here. I'll just come to that a little later. So, these are the five defensive weapons God has given us to in this warfare. And we can say, there are two more one more weapon that's offensive. I'll also come to that a little later. Verse 18 about prayer also, we can say that's an offensive weapon. And it says, verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. On the alert, all perseverance and petition for all saints. You know, in Exodus chapter 17, verse 11, the Amalekites came to fight against Israel. And when Israel, you know, Moses' hand was heavy, and they held up his hands, Israel won. And when his hands were going down, they were losing. That's a picture of prayer. And it's wonderful if you have brothers and sisters who can pray and pray and pray, so that the church can go forward in victory. I hope you'll say, Lord, give me the gift of prayer. Even if I can't preach, I love to pray and pray and pray, Lord. Praise God for such brothers and sisters who know to pray in secret to keep the church going forward. And you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 9, the Philistines came against Samuel. Samuel prayed and the Lord thundered and defeated the enemies. That's the power of prayer. Brothers, Acts chapter 12 verse 5, when Peter was in the prison, the church prayed and the Lord supernaturally opened the prison doors. And oh, may God give us grace to be gripped more by this weapon of prayer, to pray and to believe the Lord will do great things for us as we move forward. And the next weapon also, which is offensive, is the weapon of praise. We read in Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. You looked at it before, Psalm 8. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you establish strength because of adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. You know, when we learn to praise the Lord, the enemy gets defeated. And again, that's the use of the tongue. And Psalm 149, verse 6 and 7, we sing a lovely song with that. Psalm 149, verse 6 and 7. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations. When you learn to praise the Lord, God opens up a way for us. You know, in Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, read how we won the battle against Jericho. Just through praise. Not by struggling and striving. And even 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, we read about Jehoshaphat. Oh, they began to praise the Lord, and the Lord gave them victory. In Acts chapter 16, with Paul and Silas in prison, they began to praise the Lord, and the Lord opened the door, prison doors. Maybe the Lord wants us to learn to praise Him more, so that some prison doors can be opened. And as you learn to pray, as you learn to praise the Lord, God will give us many, many open doors. And the devil will not have power over us. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. You know, another big attack of Satan on God's people is he accuses them before God day and night. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Now the salvation, power, and kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He accuses them before God day and night. And very often Satan brings God's people into much condemnation, guilt, through accusation. And you know what they're supposed to do? All of you soldiers, you're not supposed to listen to him. He can accuse us before God day and night, but you don't listen to him. I can say that, don't listen to him day and night. He says they overcame him. Him is the devil. By the blood of the Lamb. And there's another weapon that we have, brothers and sisters. God's given us the weapon of the blood of the Lamb. Like I remember a godly man saying, no one can grow up to such spiritual eyes to say, I don't need the blood now. It just doesn't work. No matter how spiritual you are, you can overcome the devil only by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the blood. And by the word of a testimony. In other words, you open your mouth and speak God's word. We can say, There also you can use the sword of the Spirit. Every time the devil came to Jesus, Jesus didn't say it's written somewhere. He knew where it was written. Exactly. And I believe that's how we can also learn to fight the devil. Take the sword of the Spirit. Say, use God's word. Give him the right word. See, by the word of a testimony. By the word of the testimony. That means God wants you to open your mouth and confess God's word. And you'll find the devil fleeing away from you. And he gets defeated. And you can overcome him. Not in heaven. Not when you become mature. Shall I say, today. You can overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. By the word of your testimony. Oh, I praise the Lord for these weapons God's given us. Some defensive, some offensive. And then, one more weapon. It's a very great weapon. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Or say another translation, not carnal. You can't be carnal if you want to fight the devil. It says, but divinely powerful. Do you have weapons that are powerful? For the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Oh, Apostle Paul came to this wonderful life. You know, Satan always attacks the mind. Like we often say, the mind is the battlefield. You know, all kinds of thoughts come into our mind. All impure thoughts come into our mind. What do? Resist. Say, no, I don't allow that in my life. Are you resisting the devil faithfully? Every temptation, resist him. And those are the brothers and sisters who can overcome the spirit of impurity with the spirit of purity. You know, the devil puts all thoughts of rebellion, pride into our mind. What shall we do, brothers and sisters? Don't let the devil build a fortress in your mind. Resist it. I'm not going to let the thought dwell in me. When you're tempted, it's not sin. All sorts of thoughts may come in. But you say no. You don't entertain. You don't agree with it. Like we sing in the song, the devil and I, we don't agree. I hope it's true in your life. And then, you know, there's so much of thoughts of complaining and murmuring and dissatisfaction and discontentment. And that's why we don't allow such thoughts to dwell in our mind. And the more we have a spirit of praise, we overcome all the spirit of complaining and grumbling. You know, the devil brings all thoughts of strife and division. He's a destroyer. The Bible says he came to kill and steal and destroy. And we don't entertain such thoughts. And such brothers can build a church who know to preserve the unity of the Spirit in their thoughts, in their mind. Same way the devil brings all kinds of unbelief. Oh, we need brothers and sisters who can counter him with the spirit of faith, with the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land. He will give us victory. The giants will come under our feet. That's why we need always confess God's word. And hold fast to the confession of our faith. It says, without wavering. That's our duty, brothers and sisters. Always to say, the Lord, he defeated Satan on the cross. He will lead me in his triumph. I shall not be a slave to sin. He says, hold fast your confession without wavering. You know, Satan brings all thoughts of selfishness to seek our own. You can overcome that by a spirit of sacrifice. And Satan brings all kinds of discouragement. Like someone was saying, devil is not such a invisible character. Like someone said, you were sitting next to me in the meeting. Yeah, he brings all kinds of discouragement. And don't just accept it, brothers. I refuse to accept all discouragement. There's none from God. And you know, there's a tremendous tendency to seek the honor of men, and that's so common in Christendom, and that's the spirit of the Babylon, to impress others, to sing to impress others, to preach to impress others, to do many things to impress others. Oh, to be so cleansed from all that. And the spirit of lying, it's all from the devil. And you know, all these thoughts come into our mind. The devil put thoughts of lying into Ananias and Sapphira, and they got deceived. Oh, not to give place to the devil in our thoughts and say, Lord, you have given me grace to be a soldier. I'm thankful, Lord, for this privilege. And say, Lord, I'll be faithful in the battle. The mark of a soldier is on the alert, whether it's in the office, or whether you sisters on the kitchen, wherever you are, you can be not just in the meeting. Be on the alert. Put on the armor of God. Say, like about David it was written, he was fighting the battle for the Lord. Don't just have a complaint. I'm not getting any ministry in the church. You got a ministry, brothers and sisters, to fight the devil day and out, to the nail. The Lord needs faithful warriors like David. Oh, as long as David was there, none of the enemies could overpower David. I praise the Lord for such a spirit of war that David had. The enemies, nobody, those were physical enemies. And the same way, can you grow up to be such a spiritual giant in the church? Faithful in your battle, putting on the whole armor of God, fighting the evil spirits. Yeah, we praise the Lord for all those who can clean the hall, clean the toilet, and help in all the practical things. But we got to move on. Can I say, I want to move on to fight the devil. That the devil's got to be scared of you and not you scared of the devil. And that's the church Jesus is building. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Or we can say the counsel of Satan will not prevail. God's building, and then when the Lord builds, there's also battle. Building and battling go together, like we read in the book of Nehemiah. Oh, they put on the armor and they began to build. They had to build and defend. What a wonderful spirit Nehemiah had. He was a good soldier of the Lord. And that's why it says the building was completed in such a short time. Everybody knew it was the work of God. And oh, may the Lord raise up such faithful soldiers in the church. Not just brothers. Brothers and sisters. You sisters, I hope you're encouraged this morning that you also can be a soldier in the army of Christ. There's no discrimination in the church against women. You can be a powerful soldier. For example, sisters, when you conquer the spirit of rebellion in your life, I must say you are a fantastic soldier in the church. Yeah. Even if nobody recognizes it, the devil knows that. Oh, what a fantastic opportunity, all of you sisters, to overcome the spirit of rebellion. Even you young people, when you learn to submit to authority, you overcome the spirit of rebellion in your life. You overcome the spirit of impurity. Oh, I believe the Lord's looking for such a pure church, such a humble church, such a faithful church. And I want to close again with that exhortation. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and may the Lord give us grace to be faithful till the Lord comes in this battle. Like we sing the song with the high praise of God and the two-edged sword in the mouth. What a fantastic privilege God's given us to sing and to praise and to pray and to speak God's word and to keep the devil out of your life and in the church. May the Lord lead us on in His triumph. Amen.
Yeah, we praise the Lord. Speaking powerfully to us this morning. What a word to take heed to. Especially as we have entered into a new year as a church and celebrated the 38 years the Lord has blessed us. It's always possible that after a time of celebration and recounting all that God has done, that we go to sleep. I'm glad that God has spoken to us this morning to alert us, my brothers and sisters, to battle and to build. That is our calling in the church. And it's no easy chair in life. We are called to battle. We are in the last days, so the battle will become more severe. But we don't have to be afraid. We know the end, the outcome of it all. If, like we heard, if we prepare ourselves, we're not children, we're not foolish, we don't be like the Gentiles, we don't give room to immorality and adultery. All those things that we heard, then I can battle. But if any of those things have place in my life, I can't battle. I can read the word and imagine that I'm battling, but the devil has a big laugh, because there are areas in my life, like we heard about, where I'm not prepared to battle. Let's take it to heart. I thank God for speaking to my own heart. I've been alerted this morning. I trust you have also. Now I want to read what Brother Newton read from the Message Bible. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. You know, finally be strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might. And it says in the Message Bible, that about wraps it up. God is strong and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you. Well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so then when it's all over but the shouting, you'll be on your feet. That's where you and I must be standing, not down. We should be standing on our feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. And don't forget to pray for me, Paul says. Pray that I'll know what to say and have the courage to say it at the right time, telling the mystery to one and all, the message that I, jailbird preacher that I am, responsible for getting out. Yeah, we heard this morning we have these weapons, my brothers and sisters, use them. We defend ourselves like we heard. And we are on the offensive, we're not all the time defending ourselves. We are to go up in an offensive battle, go up against the devil, use the sword of the Spirit and prayer, that we pray for one another. And like Paul says in humility, pray for me. Pray for your leaders, pray for your shepherds, pray for those who take the gospel out, pray for Brother Zach. They are targets of Satan. But he'll never succeed because we're an army. And let's be that as we enter a new year. Really be strong in the strength of the Lord, in the strength of His might, and let's take up the sword to battle. And I want to encourage us, especially the young people, give yourself to the Word, my dear young people. Give yourself to the Word. Earnestly desire to prophesy. The Holy Spirit says that. Earnestly, you desire so many other things. This came to me yesterday. So many other things we can desire, we want in this life. And God gives them to us if we need it. But to desire to prophesy, to build up the church, to desire that the church gets established and the devil doesn't make inroads. He's never succeeded in 38 years. Yeah, he has succeeded with some in their personal lives. We can't do anything about it. They've not taken heed to the warnings here. But if you and I take heed to the warnings we have heard all these years and the encouragement, we can really go forward and battle. And we know the outcome. We are on the victory side. So let's stand up and sing that lovely song. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war. Really sing it with a spirit of battle. sing it as a challenge. Come, my brothers, and really ask the Lord to make us soldiers, and that we never give up. And if we go down, we get up again. And like it says, even if I fall 7 times, rejoice not over me, rejoice not over me, O my enemy. Though I fall 7 times, I will arise again. So, never to be down, to be left standing on our feet. And let's really take up this challenge. Come.
Sorry, I forgot to say one thing. You know, there's no weapon for our back. There's a weapon for our chest, for the head, and we heard about so many other weapons. But you know why there's no weapon for our back? We're not supposed to turn back. We're not supposed to give up. We're not supposed to discourage, for instance. That's why there's no weapon for the back. So let's keep moving forward and sing.
Don't be short in the back. Yeah. Don't be short in the back. We should be facing the enemy. Onward, Christian soldiers. We heard this morning, sisters also are to take up this battle, to take up the sword and fight. And don't be afraid, just give Him thanks and say, this is what it's going to be. And thank God for speaking to us, that we take up the battle, move forward as a church. May the Lord pour His Spirit upon us mightily this morning, that we can receive a fresh anointing, a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. We go in the strength of the Lord and in the strength of His mind. We cannot battle in our own strength, but He gives us strength, He gives us power. Let's bless Him with all of our hearts. Praise Him, brothers and sisters. Glory to You, Lord Jesus. Glory to You. Thank You that You lead us in victory. Glory to You. Yes, Lord, we praise You. Thank You, Lord, we thank You. We want to move forward as a church. And so equip us, Lord. Help us never to be caught napping. Help us never to turn our backs on the enemy, to move forward in the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we pray for those who have not been baptized in Your Holy Spirit this morning. May Your Spirit fall upon them. Fall upon them, Lord, that in faith they receive, Lord Jesus, and be free from all that holds them in bondage, Lord. And be encouraged and be strengthened. And know that You're on their side. Lord, baptize them in Your Holy Spirit and fire. And give us a fresh outpouring. Fill me afresh, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit. Fill us all afresh. We want to count for You in these last days. We are now in the very last hour, in the very last seconds before You return. And so help us, Lord, that we be a threat to the enemy. Like it's been all these years, a threat to the enemy, and nothing can stop us, Lord, from going forward. Thank You. We want to remember, Lord, those who have led us. We think of all our brothers. We think of our brother Zach and Sister Annie. We want to commend them to You this morning in a very special way. And thank You that He has led us in this battle untiringly, Lord. Never wearied. And even as they've grown older, we really want to thank You. For those who lead us, for all their efforts, Lord, that they have never grown tiring and weary. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We pray that You would bless them and also give them their portion, a double portion of Your Spirit. And all our brothers and all our churches, Lord, we pray there would be unity. Yes, make us one even as You're one with the Father. As You're one with the Father, this is Your longing, this is Your heart cry. And make us one here as You have, Lord, through the years. And that nothing can be a threat to that or divide that unity, Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for blessing us. We look forward. We are living in exciting days. Bless every home and family represented here. Yes, Lord, we pray You bless. Bless those who are maybe particularly downcast this morning, who are carrying burdens. Help them to just cast those burdens, throw them onto Your shoulders. You didn't create them. They were not meant to carry those burdens. So help them to cast whatever it is that's troubling them onto Your shoulders, because You care for us. Yes, Lord, and we thank You that You provide all our need here on this earth, that we can live a godly life. Thank you for healing that we have received from all our sicknesses and diseases, for those you've healed.